Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into something vital, something that touches almost everyone: how to spot burnout before it wrecks your work and life. You know, burnout isn't like flipping a switch. It's more like a slow leak, kind of insidious, that just drains you without you always noticing right away.
It's actually quite striking how common it is. There's research, Gallup, I think, showing something like 76% of employees feel burned out at least sometimes. But like you said, even with that awareness, most people, well, they don't really spot the signs until they're already deep in it, until real damage is done.
Right. So our mission today, what we want to do is give you a shortcut, a really practical guide. We're taking what we know about burnout and helping you build, let's say, your own personal early warning system. Forget just a check engine light. Think more like a pilot's dashboard in a cockpit. It gives you real-time feedback on your internal state, so you can make those small adjustments, those course corrections, way before you hit major turbulence. It's not about dodging all stress. Some stress is good.
Absolutely. Productive stress can be motivating.
Yeah, it's about catching those unsustainable patterns before they mess up your job, your health, everything.
That distinction is so critical. Stress is normal, even necessary for growth in a meaningful career. What we're targeting is that chronic, overwhelming kind, the kind that leads to burnout. So by learning your signals, by tracking them, you're not just preventing a crash, you're actually building a solid foundation for performing well sustainably over the long haul.
Okay, let's break this down then, because before you can track your signs, you need to know where to even look. What forms does burnout take? It's not just one thing, is it?
No, definitely not. Research, and frankly, just seeing this play out, shows warning signs pop up across four main areas, four domains, recognizing these categories. That's step one. It helps you personalize your whole detection approach. It's like learning the different ways your body and mind signal, hey, too much pressure here.
So first up is the physical domain. I often think the body whispers before the mind shouts. What kind of physical clues should we be listening for?
Yeah, your body's usually the first responder. It's quite amazing, actually. Physical signs can be things like trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, or you wake up feeling exhausted, like you haven't slept at all. That persistent fatigue, even after what should be rest. Sudden energy crashes midday, unexplained aches and pains, headaches, neck tension, backaches that just seem to linger. Maybe you notice you're catching every cold that goes around. Or digestive issues flare up. Even just needing more coffee or sugar than usual to function, that can be a sign. Your body's trying to send a message.
Okay, so physical signs are pretty concrete. But then there's the emotional domain. This feels trickier, maybe easier to dismiss as just a bad mood or stress.
Exactly. That's where it gets sneaky. Emotional signs often creep in after the physical ones. You might notice you're way more irritable, snapping at people, little things setting you off, feeling emotionally drained, just empty, or maybe losing enthusiasm for things you used to love, work or hobbies. That Sunday scaries feeling becomes like a regular dread about Monday. A big one is growing cynicism towards your work, your colleagues, clients, feeling disconnected, detached, and this sense that nothing you do really matters or makes a difference. That reduced sense of accomplishment. And, you know, that slide from enthusiasm to frustration, then disillusionment, and finally cynicism. It's almost like a defense mechanism.
A defense mechanism? How so?
Well, think about it. If you keep pouring energy into something and get nothing back, or feel like you're getting nothing back, disillusionment sets in. Cynicism follows. It's your brain trying to protect you from further disappointment by, well, stopping you from caring so much.
Wow, okay. Seeing cynicism as a defense mechanism, not just negativity. That's powerful.
Yeah. Recognizing it as that signal is key. It's not just a mood swing.
Okay, so that shift, that emotional drain, naturally leads into the cognitive domain, right? Our thinking gets affected.
Yes, absolutely. And this is really concerning because it hits your performance, your clarity, your ability to make decisions. When your brain's under that constant, sustained stress, cognitive functions start to, well, degrade. You might get that classic mental fog. Difficulty concentrating, just can't focus. Memory problems, forgetting names, appointments, where you put your keys again. Even decision fatigue. Small choices feel huge, overwhelming. Or maybe you find yourself replaying conversations in your head, trying to pre-solve everything because your brain feels overloaded.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. And creativity often tanks. Problem solving feels like wading through treacle. Your brain just isn't firing on all cylinders.
And I imagine this gets amplified in our always-on digital world, especially with remote work.
Oh, definitely. Digital overload adds a whole new layer of cognitive strain. We're seeing things like platform switching fatigue.
Just the mental effort of bouncing between Slack, email, video calls, project tools. It drains you. Then there's notification fragmentation, constant pings breaking your focus. Makes deep work almost impossible sometimes.
Right, the constant interruptions.
Exactly. And Zoom fatigue is real. Plus, this context collapse, managing work and personal life in the same digital space, sometimes even the same physical space, it puts a huge tax on your brain. These digital-specific things often show up quite early, sometimes before the more general brain fog hits.
Okay, that's a really important nuance for today's world. Finally, the behavioral domain. This is where it starts showing up on the outside, right? Observable changes. That's it. These are the things you do, or stop doing. How your actions change. Maybe start withdrawing. Pulling back from colleagues, skipping social events, isolating yourself more. Procrastination can creep in, especially on tasks that feel demanding or overwhelming. Maybe more conflict, short temper leading to friction in relationships, work or personal. People often lean on coping mechanisms that aren't really helping, like more alcohol, mindlessly scrolling social media for hours, binge watching shows just to numb out. And then there are the more direct performance impacts, missing deadlines, work quality dipping, being late, leaving early. Even subtle changes in how you communicate slower replies, being more blunt or abrupt.
And how does this look different for remote workers when you're not physically seeing colleagues every day?
Good question. The signs are there, just maybe more subtle digitally. We talk about camera off syndrome. Someone who used to be visible suddenly always has their camera off in meetings. It can signal withdrawal or low energy. Reduced verbal contribution is another. Someone usually active in discussions goes quiet. Or maybe really slow response times to emails or messages become the norm. Working weird hours constantly online late at night or early mornings, blurring those boundaries, that's often a sign of struggle, not dedication. And then there's virtual presenteeism. Logged in, green light showing available, but clearly not engaged. Minimal interaction, slow responses. These things build up gradually, so you have to be looking for them.
Okay, so we have these four domains: physical, emotional, cognitive, behavioral. And all these potential warning signs. Now, the really practical part. How do we take all this knowledge and turn it into something usable? That personal burnout dashboard you mentioned earlier.
All right, this is about integration, making it actionable. The goal is a system you can check quickly, easily, but that covers all the bases. What you want to do is pick your top indicators, the ones that show up early for you. We usually suggest picking maybe two reliable signs from each domain, two physical, two emotional, two cognitive, two behavioral. They need to be specific enough that you can recognize them easily.
So 8 key signs tailored to you. Then you need a way to track them, right? What does that look like?
Yeah, you build your template. Could be super simple. A spreadsheet, a page in your journal, maybe a habit tracking app you already use, even just notes on your calendar. The key thing is it has to be something you'll actually use consistently. Don't make it complicated if simple works for you.
Makes sense. Keep it simple. Then how do you measure? How do you know if things are getting worse?
You need a simple scoring system. For each of your 8 signs, rate its intensity on a given day. Maybe 0 to 3. Like 0 is not present. 1 is mildly there. 2 is moderately noticeable. And 3 is strongly present, definitely impacting me. Add up those scores. You get a total daily score, maybe ranging from 0 up to 24.
Ah, okay. So you get a number that gives you a snapshot of your risk level. Like maybe 0-4 is green light, low risk, 5-10 yellow, moderate risk. Pay attention.
Exactly. And maybe 11-16 is orange or high risk time for action. And 17 or above, say, is red alert, severe risk, immediate intervention needed. You define those ranges for yourself based on what feels right.
Got it. But just knowing the score isn't enough, is it? You need to know what to do about it.
That's the absolute crucial final step. Define your response protocols in advance. So when you see your score is low, your protocol might just be continue regular self-care, check again tomorrow weekly, moderate risk. Protocol might be increase recovery activities like take a longer walk, meditate, read, identify specific stressors for the past few days, review boundaries. High risk, schedule immediate recovery time, maybe take a mental health day, communicate limits clearly to manager family, cut non-essential tasks. And severe risk, that's immediate significant intervention. Maybe talk to HR, a therapist or doctor, delegate or postpone major tasks, take time off if possible. Having these planned responses removes the guesswork when you're already stressed.
That proactive planning sounds key. So you're not trying to figure out solutions when you're already feeling overwhelmed.
Precisely. It takes the decision-making burden off your shoulders in the moment.
Okay, this dashboard system sounds fantastic, really practical. But let's be real, the best system is useless if you don't stick with it. How do you make this a sustainable habit? What's the trick?
Yeah, consistency at everything. The biggest hurdle is often just feeling like it's another task on the to-do list. So the trick, maybe counterintuitively, is not to add a totally new habit. Instead, anchor to something you already do every single day without fail.
Ah, habit stacking. Like checking your physical signs while your morning coffee brews.
Exactly. Or doing a quick emotional check-in as part of your evening wind-down routine. Maybe a full dashboard review during your Sunday planning session. Link it to an existing ritual.
I like that. Integrate, don't just add. What about environmental cues? Can those help?
Definitely. Simple things can make a big difference. Put a small sticky note reminder on your monitor. Make your digital dashboard template your browser homepage. Or just have a dedicated notebook for it that sits right by your workspace. Little visual nudges to remind you to check in.
Okay. And what about involving other people? Is accountability helpful here, or does it just add pressure?
It can be really helpful, but you need to set it up right. Sharing your system, maybe your general risk level, with a trusted colleague could give you objective feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I noticed you seemed quiet in that meeting. How's your score? That kind of thing. Or having a burnout accountability partner, someone you check in with regularly, mutually. A mentor or coach can also provide great perspective during scheduled reviews. The key is boundaries. You don't need to overshare details, just enough to get the support or feedback you need.
Right, finding that balance. And this whole system, the signs you track, the scores, it shouldn't be set in stone, should it? It needs to adapt.
Oh, absolutely. This is a living system. You should plan to review it, maybe monthly at first. Ask yourself, are these still the right warning signs for me? Have I noticed new ones? Is the scoring working? Are my response protocols effective? Maybe you find a certain intervention works wonders, so you strengthen that in your plan, or a sign you picked isn't actually that predictive for you, so you swap it out. It's a process of continuous refinement based on your own experience.
So it grows with you as you learn more about your own patterns. That makes sense.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. You've hopefully gained some real insight now into building your own personal burnout early warning system, something tailored just for you.
And honestly, having this system gives you something incredibly valuable, something most people just don't have. That ability to see trouble coming before it hits hard. It lets you make those smaller, more manageable adjustments along the way. It's about prevention and fine-tuning, not waiting for a crisis.
So let's recap the big takeaways for everyone listening. First, burnout signs aren't random. They show up across those four domains: physical, emotional, cognitive, and behavioral. Second, your signs are unique. What signals burnout for you might be different for someone else. Third, catching it early means smaller fixes, way easier than dealing with full-blown burnout. Fourth, consistency is king. Regular monitoring beats crisis management every time. And fifth, your system needs to evolve. Keep refining it.
And remember, just the awareness itself, that's protective.
Yeah.
Being conscious of your potential warning signs makes you much more likely to notice them and actually do something. Again, this isn't about getting rid of all stress. It's about knowing the difference between good stress, that productive challenge, and that chronic draining stress that leads down the burnout path.
Yeah. By keeping an eye on your dashboard, by responding proactively, you're doing more than just preventing burnout. You're really setting yourself up for sustainable high performance, for career longevity. You're building that foundation, as you said, to burn bright without burning out.
So maybe the final thought to leave you with is this. How could applying this kind of self-awareness consistently, even just for a few minutes each day, how could that fundamentally change your ability to really thrive? Not just survive, but thrive. In your work, sure, but also in, well, every part of your life.